I'm Frank Vaughn. It's March 15th, 2025, and I want to open today's video by talking about effective propaganda and some of the rules that make it work. The big red machine, the Liberal Party of Canada, and its media clients are one big propaganda front, and you should respect them, and you should learn from them, and we should learn from history. What made the Nazis under Hitler so effective? They billed themselves the National Socialists. They were primarily a socialist movement. There are many people who call that fake news, but it's reality. They were national and ethnic socialist versus the communists were their principal opponents, the international non-ethnic socialist movement. They mimicked their colors, they mimicked their talking points, and they mimicked their violence. And they did it to maximum effect. And this isn't celebrating Nazi Germany. I'm just telling you how it is. Now, note Mark Carney. Who's he mimicking? With thunderous applause, because Trump doesn't have applause anymore during his signings, because it's only media that's there. Rarely is there applause. So that's a key difference. Let's watch it again, because they did it twice. This time they got a gavel there. This is theater. It is designed for public consumption. It is designed subtly to appeal to those who think the government's position regarding Trump might be a little harsh. Carney is positioning himself as the anti-Trump by mimicking Trump's habit. We don't have an executive branch. This is all theater. That gavel, it has no role. It's just designed to make him look authoritative. Now, he can't go to Parliament. Parliament's not in session, and he's not elected. So this is what they do. Now, let's have an update on the political situation. I'm going to read from a post I made on X last night, and I'm going to commentate on my own words as I go. My view of the current political situation. The headline that I read last night was Disability and Gender Advocates Slam Carney's Elimination of Cabinet Positions. That was the headline. Now, Carney didn't address that directly. He said that those cabinet positions, he wanted a more streamlined and efficient cabinet. But what is the effect? Distancing himself from the far left, bringing the Liberal Party back to the center in the public mind. Axe the tax. Only sort of, just enough for the masses to think the tax is gone, but it's not gone. It's enshrined in the law. Carney can't just wave a magic wand and make it go away. He can delay, he can suspend, and he's only suspended a portion of it. The industry side is still there. It's only the consumer portion. But this isn't designed to be honest. This is propaganda. This is designed for mass consumption. And who is helping him in feeding that mass consumption but Doug Ford, who said, thank God, I'm paraphrasing, but his tweet was something like, thank God, it was the stupidest tax ever. It's not gone. Ford knows it's not gone. Ford is glad-handing with Mark Carney. He's not glad-handing with Pierre Poilievre. You should read this. You should understand what's happening. Trudeau must go. He's gone. Carney is dragging the Liberal Party towards the center as he robs Pierre of his script. Pierre has boxed himself in with a bunch of slogans, and one by one, Carney is taking them from him. The Conservative Party of Canada narrowed their focus, narrowed their line of attack, boxed themselves in. And now they're finding out that the line that they're attacking doesn't matter, doesn't exist strategically, and they are being outflanked. Pierre has allowed the left to define his identity, painting him as in the pocket of Trump and MAGA North. And now he struggles in total vanity to appear to be the one who is the stronger Trump opponent. The problem with that is Pierre is now being defined by the big red machine. This is the mistake. This is the trap that all conservative leaders, even Stephen Harper in 2015, this is the attack they fall for. This is the thing. This is the trap. One by one, each of the CPC's narrow talking points are being robbed of their power. Pierre was never going to win a battle with the Liberals for the center. Why he even tried, I'll never know, and I never will. I don't know why the CPC keeps trying to do this. I'll just keep reading. The powers that be, represented by Carney, want, to the point of needing, the legitimacy of an election. But they will delay it until it's a certainty that they'll win it, because they have that in their power. They have the first goalpost, which is October, so they have the entire summer for Carney to create the perception that the Liberal Party is different. Even though he's keeping most of the Trudeau cabinet intact in his government, he's moving people around, but he's keeping most of it, the public perception has to be that the adults are back in the room in the Liberal Party. It's being dragged back to the center, and the center always goes to the Liberals. A fight for the center doesn't work, or at the very least, it doesn't work the way the Conservative Party of Canada is prosecuting it, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. The election will happen when this process is ripe enough, and it's going to be very hard for Pierre to win. The trade/annexation emergency gives the Liberals an excuse to avoid the election altogether if they can't ultimately win it. I've been talking about that. Legalistically, Mark Carney never has to face an election. There's no reason for him to, because constitutionally, he can serve as prime minister and not be in the House. This is a process that constitutionally can continue not until October of 25, but can go on into October of 2026. National emergencies and the Emergencies Act and just the normal operating function of our parliament enables this to be the case. Gives them an excuse to avoid it altogether, but they can't, if they can't ultimately win, but with the CPC doing it again, I have that in quotes, it's probably just a factor of time. And what doing it again, I mean, is drifting to the center, trying to appeal to the center, jumping through the hoops that the Liberal Party sets before them, the big red machine, letting the big red machine define Pierre. He's on the defensive now. Defensive conservatives don't win elections. So it's probably just a factor of time. The NDP is perma-wrecked. Might be ripe for a takeover if some people are sufficiently motivated, much like those who took it over for Singh. A very motivated group of 20,000 people under Jagmeet Singh, representing a significant ethnic chunk of our population, took the NDP over from the people that were running it under Jack Layton and Thomas Mulcair. That's a matter of history, and they have destroyed the NDP. And it might be able to be saved by some rational people if they decided to get back in there, but it's not going to be me. The machine, the public memory is short. And if you don't remind them aggressively of what should matter to them, you lose them by default to the big red machine. You have to fight the big red machine. You have to keep the big red machine angry. You have to have the initiative. You cannot be defending, because as soon as you defend against that inertia, you get crushed. The machine has made the NDP look very weak and left them nothing but the far left to occupy in the political space. At the same time, as far left ideologies are being abandoned even here in Canada. Don't believe it? Just watch. Progressivism, the far left, it's over. We may not have got the memo as quickly as anybody else in this world, but it's happening. And it's going to keep happening here in Canada. The amazing thing is once you're off to sterilizing children, eventually the public wakes up to that. That's why Mark Carney is pulling the Liberal Party to the center, because he sees that the opportunity is ripe to abandon the NDP on the far left. So the Liberals have followed them out there, in a way have led them out there, because the NDP's identity over the last several years has been propping up the Liberals. Singh's hypocrisy is a very categorical meme, and in that process, he's been led to the far left. Now the Liberals can jump back to the center, because that's their natural place, and the NDP are just left out there floundering while the ideology is dying. That's what's happening. The Liberals sit to be crowned again by the very middle. The CPC can't seem to figure out how many times are we going to do this? Conservatives win when they fight the other side on every point by drawing stark contrasts to public attention, not samenesses. Conservatives win when they focus on how they're different from Liberals. They amplify those things. Mark Carney, in the clip that I saw that I opened with, he's sitting at a desk and he's signing an executive order. He's mimicking Trump. But he's not Trump. It's all theater. And it's subtle. He's showing you that he's the anti-Trump. He's showing you strength. That is how you amplify samenesses with your political adversaries. You have to do it in a secondary and tertiary way. Again, conservatives win when they fight the other side on every point by drawing stark contrasts to public attention, not samenesses. Samenesses are secondary and tertiary details. Differences must be the primary focus. So the subtle, subconscious play are the samenesses. The overt, direct play is the opposition. You have to fight. Pierre needs a new strategy and quick, but he may have gone way too far out on the limb to do so. Pierre has taken some very strong positions. It's very hard for him to walk those back without looking weaker than he's already looking. Apple eating Pierre is gone, and he's been replaced by some other version of him that wants to look like Team Canada, that wants to be the strongest person on Ukraine, that wants to adopt these policies and positions that amplify his sameness. And his argument is, I am the better person to prosecute these same policies that Team Canada is prosecuting. It's a losing and failing strategy. Now, you can be mad at me all you want, and that's fine. I'm not here to play politics. I'm here to tell you what is and what isn't. And the conservatives are blowing it. Another way they're blowing it is on Ukraine. The Ukraine war is almost over. The Russians are either going to win it clean or Zelensky's going to settle. But in a matter of months, it won't matter anymore. The only way to avoid the conclusion of the war is for NATO to commit troops on the ground. But Europe doesn't have those troops. And America doesn't want to do it. And Europe is practically occupied by the United States right now. There's 100,000 military personnel in Europe right now. Trump might just bring them home. We might be witnessing the end of NATO. So I don't know what Pierre is doing. He's certainly not adopting a balanced approach. There are thousands of Ukrainian troops surrounded right now in Kursk. They're either going to die or they're going to surrender. The Russians keep making gains in the Donbass. Actually, they've got the Donbass, but they're moving more and methodically into Ukraine proper as they run out of manpower. The war is effectively over, and Pierre is once again out of position. He's now pro-war and anti-Trump in a world where that's exactly what his opposition is. It's not good. But another thing that I noticed last night, I've talked about this picture already in another video, but I was talking about it again last night with my wife, and she pointed out to me something I completely missed. Stop me. Who signed off on this? I had this exact same problem with Andrew Scheer and his campaign and Aaron O'Toole's. I think the CPC, some people say that they're designed to lose, that they're designed to torpedo themselves, that they're actually controlled opposition and all this other stuff. I don't know about that. But I do think there's some bad actors that are advising these people, because that's subtle. It might be secondary, but the whole image is very fake. It's very waxy. The lighting is bad. It doesn't look real. And the first And the subtle part is stop me. Now, I know the sign is stop the crime, but you needed, of all the pictures in the world you could have picked, this is the one you went with. They did the same thing to Scheer and O'Toole. They changed the color scheme. They changed the messaging, and it just watered everything down. It became less believable. These are all actual problems with the CPC right now, and each day that goes by, you can see it in the polls. They're weakening. Now, you can hate me for saying it, or you can advocate for a change of tact, a change of trajectory right now with the Conservative Party of Canada. I think it's too late. I think the die is cast. I think they're going to have a hard time, but maybe they can salvage it. There's supposed to be a lot of brilliant minds in the Conservative Party. Maybe they can put their heads together and figure out how to dig themselves out of the hole that they've been led into by the big red machine. Heading over to Polywave, we can argue that polls are fake all day. Polywave.com, this is the place to check out polls. And you can see the effectiveness of the big red machine. Now, I'm going to take IQOS out. And you're going to notice, and that's the cool thing about Polywave, is you can choose which polls you want to go with, which ones you trust, which ones you don't trust. We can take out Leisure because they just did a poll showing the liberals ahead. We can take out, we can bias it any way we want, but we take out IQOS, which is just on another planet. I think they had the liberals at 45% and the conservatives in the 20s. They had the liberals leading in Alberta. That's not happening. Frank Graves is on another planet. But when you take them out of the average, it doesn't change all that much. That's the thing to note. The CPC has softened. Why have they softened? Because they're catering to Team Canada. They're catering to the center. Why has Doug Ford abandoned the CPC and he's out glad-handing and hugging Mark Carney? Because he just won a majority government and he can smell where the wind is blowing. He knows. And this is a problem for the CPC. Don't hide from it. Tell them the truth. Maybe they can change. Maybe they can save it. That's what we do. We tell the truth. And speaking of truth, we have to revisit the PPC because I am constantly under attack by these people more than anybody else. They claim falsehoods like I tried to take over the party and there was a coup and all this stuff. And everybody that was there, from Kelly Lawrence, who the PPC people still really respect, a man who quit the party because there is no party, he's going to chime in on this too, eventually on Twitter. Look for it. The PPC is a corporation. This is the corporate registration. There's also a corporate registration in Quebec because you have to mirror the federal registration in the province of operation. The PPC isn't based in Gatineau. It's based in a house in the Bows. The PPC, until it has a constitution, until it has bylaws, until it has actual real members, all it is a corporation. It operates like a political party. Because it technically is, with Elections Canada, a political party. But you have no members. And Bernier is on the record as saying, until he retires, he's not going to give you a constitution. He's not going to give you any say. Now, the argument the PPC makes is that it's a name recognition problem. People don't know that Bernier exists. They know. Cultists, they know. They've rejected him. He's toxic. You can't grow a new movement in this country until Bernier steps aside or until he gives the members legitimacy. Until then, all of your money is controlled by this corporation. And that's the end of the PPC story. We're going to talk about Syria a little bit next and how it links back to Canada. But before we do, I just want to quickly cover this. Musk shares, later deletes, claim that Stalin and Hitler didn't murder millions. Public sector employees did. And this is a huge controversy right now in Canada because everybody hates Elon Musk. We're attacking Tesla dealerships. We're burning cars. We're smashing windows. We're poor people who bought Teslas are now being targeted just for driving them before anything happened politically with Elon Musk. But what was he actually saying here? What was the meme actually pointing out? In isolation, Hitler was not dangerous. In isolation, Stalin was not dangerous, and Mao was not dangerous. They had to have millions of willing partners. Hitler rose to power via democracy. He was elected into place. And you can argue about the tactics that were used during the latter stages of his electoral rise. But you cannot deny that people marked an X beside his ballot. Hindenburg, president of the Weimar Republic, did everything in his power to avoid making Hitler chancellor. No one else could successfully head the government. And so he finally gave it over to him. Then he died. Then the Enabling Act. The Enabling Act functioned very much like the Emergencies Act functions here in Canada. The Canadian government has a lot in common with the government of Nazi Germany. Without willing partners, totalitarianism can't thrive. There had to be people following orders. That was the point of the post that Musk shared. Thinking back to 2021 here in Canada, without the willing partners in the public services, without the willing partners in the police services, and many did stand out and stand up and rejected the draconian policies that were going on. They kept you away from your family. They arrested you for gathering in public. They forced you to mask and present vaccine documents and passports. These are very similar to policies of totalitarian governments the world over of any variety. And they don't succeed without willing public participation, and in particular, public sector participation. The public sector is the arm of the government. They obey the orders. I'm not really sure why this is controversial. I actually wish Elon Musk had just taken the time to explain what he was talking about. Now, Syria. I've been wanting to talk about this for a bit. West-backed jihadists in Syria massacre over 1,000 Alawite Christian men, women, and children. CTV has this article, or had this article up. Death toll from 2 days of clashes in Syria rises to more than 1,000 people. Note the difference between the two headlines that I just showed you. This headline downplays it, and there's a reason for that, and we'll get to that. It doesn't tell you that it's a massacre of men, women, and children for their religious beliefs. Here is and this is so disturbing. These are barrel bombs. There's actually a video that the jihadists, these Islamic fundamentalists that have been allowed to come into power in Syria, they're on a plane and they're flying along the coast and they're just pushing these barrel bombs out. And the whole time they're talking about how Allah is great and they're just indiscriminately killing people. The Canadian media is not telling you about them. I'm gonna reveal why. U.S. condemns attacks on Syrian minorities as coastal violence escalates. Trump White House condemns radical Islamist terrorists currently attacking Syria's Alawites and Christians. Now, some people, for whatever reason, every time I mention anything, they got to bring Jews into it. They got to bring Israel into it. Israel is occupying a chunk of southern Syria. They're not barrel bombing the civilian population under their occupation. The current government of Syria is. Syria leader signs constitutional declaration hailing new history. They enshrined Sharia law into the Constitution as they ethnically cleanse Syria's thriving Christian population. Canada announces measures to support the people of Syria. Your government is sending $84 million in new funding on top of the funding they've already sent to Syria to support this new government that is ethnically cleansing Christians. And what does CBC want to talk about? How the Assad regime, which is now gone, detained these six Syrian children with their parents in 2013. Where are they now? Note the date, if you can see it. My head's not blocking it. March 9th, 2025. While the mass slaughter of Syrian civilians is ongoing for their religious beliefs, this is what the CBC wants to tell you about. Why? Because they're flying cover for your government, which is funding the ethnic cleansing going on in Syria right now. At least the United States had the courage to condemn it. And with that, we'll draw this one to a close. Maybe tomorrow I'll do a more long-form edition to try and clear the desk of all the different things I want to talk about. If you enjoy the work and you find it valuable, please consider supporting it via the website. I appreciate everybody who does. And also, I appreciate your incredible engagement. You know, on X, we are the norm. The normal engagement rate is 1% to 3%. So for every impression that you leave in the feed, you get a 1% to 3% engagement rate. 3% is on the high side. Our engagement rate is 15%. You guys are awesome. You're building it. And I appreciate every single one of you. Without you, I'm nothing. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.